Good morning, everyone. It says in Hebrews 10 and 24, considering one another, provoke unto love and good works. We always talk about not forsaking the assembling, but our goal is really to provoke you to do good things and to love one another. And that's my goal this morning in the lesson. I got some thoughts I want to share with you, and my hope is to provoke you to do a little bit better. And I have several thoughts considering, and it's a two-part lesson. Dad told me he's going to have me speak morning and night, so that's perfect. A lot of times you try to cram so much in one lesson, and so this is spread out over a couple lessons. So the next about 25 minutes, I'm going to cover part one. You know, there's a country music song out right now. I don't know if you've listened to it or not, by Eric Church. I did a little bit of digging on him. He's got a lot of other bad songs, so I don't recommend Eric Church necessarily. But this is a really good song that he has, a very good message. If you haven't heard it, you'll at least know the words, the lyrics, after we're done today. But it's called Monsters. And the song starts out, says, I killed my first monster when I was 7 years old. He melted like butter in my bathroom 60-watt bulb. Kept a 3-cell mag light from Daddy's workshop drawer under my pillow, and I'd pull it like a sword. Anymore, when restless feeling keeps me up at night, falling on my knees is my new turning on the light. I kept my faith intact, made sure my prayers are said, because I've learned that the monsters ain't the ones beneath the bed. The wolf hunts a hungry man, and the devil a lonely heart. A minefield of bad decisions lay hiding in the dark. Greed stalks, sickness steals, and pride lays a wicked trap. You can't avoid them all. No, you got to trust me on that. Anymore, when a restless feeling keeps me up at night, falling on my knees is my new turning on the light. I keep my faith intact, make sure my prayers are said, because I've learned that the monsters ain't the ones beneath the bed. Daddy, check my closet, leave on the bathroom light. I smile and say, all clear, when I tuck him in for the night. But Daddy, I'm still scared. Can I sleep with you instead? I kneel down beside my little man and I bow my head. Anymore, when the restless feeling keeps me up at night, falling on my knees is my new turning on the light. I keep my faith intact, make sure my prayers are said, because I've learned that the monsters ain't the ones beneath the bed. Very strong message. In fact, that's what my lesson is going to be about. It's about, and I entitled my lesson, Turning on the Light, the Power of Prayer. So that's what we're going to spend time talking about. We're going to know some specific things, and I don't know what monsters are hiding beneath your bed. They're in the closet. Hopefully I'll hit on one of them over the next, this morning and tonight. When you look at Jesus, we should recognize that prayer is a sacred and right and a privilege. It is such a blessing. One of the best blessings we have as Christians is to be able to go to God and know that He hears the prayer of the righteous. It is such a blessing and such a privilege, and not to be taken lightly. You know, we want technology to serve us better. So we communicate. We want to communicate faster. We got phones. We got tablets. We got the internet. If I want to get a hold of somebody, if I send a text right now, I can get a hold of people that probably about anybody at work, any associate I want to contact. It's just right there. You know what? We like that. We've got Facebook. Communicate with a lot of friends, people maybe we haven't talked to in many years. You can reach out to them and find what they're doing. We like that. We want that. How much more should we want to communicate with God, our Heavenly Father, when you think about what He can do for us? You know, your friends can't do a lot for you. They can talk to you a little bit, but I'm talking about real problems. I'm talking about important things. Things that are real. They can't touch what God can do for you. And yet, we don't talk to Him. We don't talk to Him as much as we should, or as humble and with the gratitude and the thankfulness that we should have to God. We need to be more prayerful people and recognize the power of prayer, as the song suggested. There was a movie out, it's probably been 20 years, I don't know, it was when our boys were younger. It's called Monsters, Inc. So we're going to look at a few monsters here this morning. And again, I don't know what monster you're dealing with, but we're going to notice half of these, roughly half of them, a few more this morning than we will tonight. First one is greed, so we're going to talk about greed. We're going to talk about the sin of lying. We're going to talk about pride, the tongue, love of the world, lust of the eyes, depression or mental health, and finally we're going to talk about self-control. So that's what we're going to cover. And we're also going to notice things that Jesus shared with us about prayer and the importance of prayer. And what I want you to recognize, in fact, in today's bulletin, you'll see there is a report card in there. I would encourage you to dig that out. You don't have to do it during the lesson. You're welcome to do it during the lesson or sometime today. And there's extras of these printed out in the back. Look at these different categories and give yourself a rating. I put on the bottom there, A is excellent, B is good, C is satisfactory, D is poor, and F is failure. Any children out there know that the report card, it's not necessarily a good thing, but a report card tells you how well you're doing. So I'd like for you to go back and look at how well you think you've done. By the way, those are not my scores. They're just random numbers I put up there. I will fill one of these out, though. But just give yourself a prayer or a score on that. And it's important that you recognize, and the reason why I put prayer at the bottom, because if you're struggling in one of these areas, the best thing you can be doing is praying to God to help you. It does two things. One, God can help you. And two, it reminds you that you need to improve in those areas. And then obviously in 2020, think about where you want to be in 2020. So that's what I want you to think about, is how you're doing in these different areas. First, I want to talk about is greed. Luke 12 and 15 says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." 1 John 2 and 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." You know, Nathan talked about it's a season of giving. It's also a season of greed. And I don't know if you see the little girl there. She's got all the packages. And that's one of the things I remember when we were getting presents for the kids. That you make sure the one pile isn't a lot bigger than the other. The other thing you liked when you was a kid is if you had the biggest present. What do? You open that thing first? Some of you might. We all usually save that for last. Big means better, right? As you get older, you realize that's not true. But when you're kids, it's all about the number of packages and the size of the packages. It's also real easy to want things. And think about yourself. Greed is wanting more and more and more, never being satisfied. And that can be deployed in so many areas, around money, around even our spouse, always wanting something more or better. And we sacrifice so much in terms of our own souls as well as our children and friends because of greed and just wanting more and more. We need to recognize a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesses. You know, when Jesus was praying to God, he demonstrated the importance of this and praying at all times. If you look at Jesus' life, he prayed constantly to God. He preached about prayer and he practiced prayer. He taught his apostles and disciples the importance of prayer. So he preached when the Jews had profaned the temple, the business practice, he reminded them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." We need to recognize, even when we're worshiping God, we're in the presence of the Almighty God, and we worship Him and praise Him. And we go to prayer to God, how great a blessing and privilege it was. But Jesus recognized what the Jews had done there. So the next sin is the sin of lying. John 8 and 44, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Also, Colossians 3, 9, "Do not lie to one to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." You know, when I was a young man, I may have told this story, but I don't think I've ever shown a picture of it. My mom had one of these. And I knocked it off the shelf, and I don't know how that thing, it shattered in three. It broke nicely in three pieces. And of course, I was devastated. But also, it was pretty good at covering up my tracks sometimes. So I went out and got some super glue. I was young. I don't know. I'm surprised I was young enough to know how to use that. I glued my fingers together, but I glued that back together. I did a pretty good job. Couldn't tell. And I remember it wasn't very long. A week or two later, my sister just bumped the thing. It didn't fall off. It just, I think it was still one. It just maybe rolled over, and it fell back into three pieces. And I never said a word. Never said a word. Now, you might thought that was a bad lesson for me to learn. But, you know, I remember that. Not because I pulled off, but because I lied about that. I kept it secret. You remember those things. I can go on and tell you a few other ones I've gotten away with and a few I didn't get away with in my life. There are some people out there, they just cannot control themselves. They lie to get themselves out of trouble. First of all, they do things they shouldn't. There's the first problem. And secondly, they'll lie to cover it up. That may be the monster you're dealing with. I don't know if it is or not. If it is, we need to go to God and pray about that. Help us. That's something we gotta get our arms on. We gotta get control of that. We can't lie to get out of trouble. You know, Jesus preached prayer. He taught others about the importance of prayer. He taught his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 9, and 15. He also spoke the parable to them at the end. They ought always to pray and not to faint in 18 and 1. He also taught for whom we should pray. Certain people. Enemies. This is a tough one. In Matthew 5, 44, it says, by saying you love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. This is a really hard thing for us to do. Pray for your enemies. But that's what we need to do. Jesus taught his disciples to do that. We need to pray, not just for those we love, but also those that want to do us harm. Pray for the children. Matthew 19, 13. Then were they brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. And also for one another. Luke 22 and 32 says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. We need to pray for one another. It's very, very important. And this other thing is, we need to know we need to be praying for each other. If you don't know what your brothers and sisters might be struggling with, I mean, I can pray for you generally, but if you're expressed to individuals what you're struggling with, then we can help you and pray for you. And that has happened at times. People will basically say, hey, I'm struggling with this thing. I need some help. And there's nothing wrong with that. That may be whatever one of these monsters you're dealing with and you're having a really tough time getting over it. Certainly reach out to brothers and sisters and ask them to help pray for you. James 4, 6, and the next one is pride. But he giveth more grace, wherefore saith God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James 4, and 10. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. This is a very difficult one. Especially when you're really good at something. It's so easy to look down on other people. Because you know what? There's always going to be somebody better or somebody worse than you. And I can tell you, in my career, I've seen many successful people. And I've seen people who are very successful and they're very humble about it. And I've seen people that are successful and they're extremely arrogant. And they're the last people in the world I want to spend any time with. You don't have to be around somebody very long and they start what? Talking about themselves, right? All the great things they have done and they've accomplished. That's pride. Look what I did. Look what I've done. You know, I remember when we were kids, we all had this color. I don't remember. We weren't that old, but I remember there was Doug, little Gary, and myself. I don't know if Paula was in on that or not. But we all had a coloring page. We all had to color these pictures. And then Mom was going to judge who did the best job. And I was just convinced I did the best job. You know, I wasn't big on the dark colors. I did light colors and did a nice matte thing. There wasn't no lines out of the outline. You know what? She didn't pick mine. I don't know who she picked. I can't remember that. I remember she didn't pick mine. I'm like, what's wrong with her? But I was just confident I had done the best job. That's the way we are sometimes. We like to be prideful and sometimes look down on others. We can't be that way. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Lowliness of mind. That should be characteristic. And if you're struggling with pride, go to God. It'll do two things. One, God will help you. And secondly, it'll remind you that you need to be humble. We need to be humble people. He taught how to pray. He taught his disciples about the proper attitude in prayer. They were not to pray to be seen of men. Matthew 6, 5 and 6 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may see the men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly." You know, especially when you first start offering up prayers, I remember when you're young and you get up, you're really nervous, and so you want to make sure you do a good job. You're sometimes more concerned about doing a good job than whether your prayer is, you're saying the right things in your prayer. And sometimes I think we worry too much about whether things are said just right, whether we look just the way we need to look. You know, we gotta guard against it. We shouldn't be doing it to glorify ourselves. The right attitude in prayer is that not to do it for glory, but rather in humility. Not to be seen of men. And so it's important that not so much what we look like, what the words that we're saying, but the content of what's in our prayers. And that we're praying for the right types of things. And continuing on there, 6, 7, and 9 says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And again, they were supposed to talk in a respectfully and submissive way. It's our attitude to God. We should be so thankful that it's a privilege we have to pray to God. And remember that. And Jesus taught His disciples that. Next monster you may be dealing with, and this is a tough one, is the tongue. 1 Peter 3 and 10 says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile." Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." You know, the tongue is a very difficult thing to control. In fact, most conflicts at work, in the family, even in the church, are because of things that are said. Sometimes the right things are said and people don't respond to it correctly, and you can't control that. You know, there's going to be sometimes, in fact, there's sometimes we got to say things and people aren't going to like it. Other times, we say things that shouldn't have been said. And again, you're never going to be perfect, but the idea here is that we need to control the tongue. Meaning, we get to think very carefully before we speak. Sometimes the tongue can cause a lot of damage. And you know what? Sometimes you can repair it. Sometimes you need to say some things. You said something you shouldn't have. We need to recognize that and maybe apologize. Maybe humble ourselves. Other times, like I said, there's some things you need to say. And we cannot not say it because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. But the tongue is something that is, again, that we all have to guard against. We all have one. And I don't know about you, but when I pray at night, when I sit down, I kind of reflect. I like to reflect about what I said that day. Again, you come home from work, saying nice things to your wife? You thanking her for whatever she did that day? What she does? I can tell you, you get along a lot better. Play a few compliments to your wife from time to time. Then that'd be every day. But it needs to be sincere. But so many times, things that should be said are never said. So the tongue can be a very powerful thing, both for good and for evil. We need to make sure that we master our tongue. And again, when we do make a mistake, and I will say this, growing up, I can remember my dad, he'd say a few things to me he shouldn't have. But one thing I'll give him credit for. Almost, I can't remember a time when he got out of line, maybe he did something, maybe he said something, but he didn't come back. And I'm just the son, young kid. He would come back and apologize to me. You know what? That carried a lot of weight with me. That's pretty thick skin. I could take a lot as a young kid. But him apologizing to me, because sometimes you can know as a kid, okay, that wasn't right. That wasn't what he said or what he did wasn't right. He always apologized. And that really meant a lot to me. So we need to be careful and recognize when we do struggle with that, go to God and pray about it. He also taught his disciples when to pray. Jesus taught his disciples about the important occasions when to pray. They should pray during challenges. Matthew 17:21, Mark 9:29. He says, and he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And they were to pray constantly, day and night. Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint night. So when's the best time for prayer? Always. I don't know about you, but there's been some big moments, maybe in my career. I'm getting ready to go talk to someone or meet with someone. Call it meditation, call it prayer, and I'll just talk to God about that. Give me some strength. I don't know if I'm going to. And again, even when maybe you're getting ready to go talk to someone, especially when you're getting ready to talk to someone, and maybe it's about a difficult topic, pray to God. He prayed at the beginning of the day. And in the morning, and great while before day, he rose up and went out and departed into the desert place, and there he prayed. I don't know about you, but there's just something. When you get away from things, you know, and I used to drive to work, it was an hour and a half, 100 miles each way. And I'd spend a lot of time in my mornings praying. But I still had other things going on, right? The road, the car, and driving. Feels like, at least for me, that when I feel the most humble and when I'm most focused on my prayers is when I just go off, the TV isn't on, or I just go down, go somewhere in a quiet place, and I pray to God. And you know, going into a desert place, there's something to be said for that. Get all those distractions away from you. You need to set aside time for a one-on-one prayer with God. It could be in your home. It could be even go outside, maybe when it's nice out, go outside and pray to God, just one-on-one. It's what Jesus did. It's what His example. It's what He taught us. Even though He was busy, He wanted to begin His day with prayer and be alone, talking to God, His Father. He wanted to start the day right in prayer to God. And again, what better example do we have? So start your day praying to God. And if you're struggling, again, I don't know what monsters you're dealing with right now, but whatever that is, pray to God at the beginning of the day about it. Give me strength, Lord, to not be tempted today. Not be, succumb to the devil today. And then thank Him that night when you're successful. You'll be amazed how much it helps. Love of the world. 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This is a tough one. And over time, you know, if you were raised at a different time and era, this may not be as hard as it is today. We have a lot of cool things in this world right now. And you may not... You may have some things you're struggling with, or maybe things are going really well for you. I don't think anybody here is worried about going hungry today, right? Maybe more focused on what... There's some really nice things. I don't know about you, but I'm really weak to cheesecake, dark chocolate, but this time of year, and There's a few sweets that I really struggle with. There's a lot of good things we can enjoy in this world. You think about the televisions now and the games you can play, all the cool gadgets that are out there. And I'm not saying any of those things are wrong. But focusing and putting all our energy into these things is where the problem is. And loving those things more than we love God. Sacrificing time. Don't have time to pray to God because the world is so appealing. There's so many fun things to do in the world. We need to not love the world and put it ahead of God. We need to pray to God about giving us strength not to succumb to the world. Jesus prayed alone and apart from others. His ministry was hectic time, but He always made time for private prayer. He treasured quiet times. It says He withdrew Himself in the deserts and prayed, Luke 5:16. And I talked about that earlier. Find time where you can peel yourself away from these things of the world and spend one-on-one time with God. He wanted His private time talking to His Father. And remember after He fed the 5,000? In Matthew 14:23, He says, "And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when the evening came, He was alone there." Find some alone time with God. It's so important part of our lives as Christians. And go to God and talk about these monsters that we're dealing with. These things that you're struggling with. Don't think that you got to do it all yourself. Take it to God. Pray to God. Find time to spend with Him. He prayed before important decisions and actions. Luke 6:12-13. "It came to pass in these days that when He went out in the mountains to pray, He continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called His disciples and He chose from the 12 whom He also named the apostles." He had to make a big decision into selecting these 12 apostles. And He went out and prayed to God. He prayed prior to choosing the 12 apostles there in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He also prayed at Lazarus' tomb there, Luke 11:41. And so, in closing, just remind you of these words. "As I kneel down beside my little man, and I bow my head. Anymore when a restless feeling keeps me up at night, it falling on my knees is my new turning on the light. I keep my faith intact, make sure my prayers are said, because I've learned that the monsters ain't beneath the bed." So you come back tonight, I'm going to talk about a few of the other monsters I went over, and also going to talk about an example of the power of prayer of King Hezekiah. I'll tell you, this is giving me goosebumps every time I read about it and I hear it. And I almost guarantee if you come tonight, I'm going to give you goosebumps. It's when you think about the power of prayer and what it did. It should cause us to be encouraged and strengthened by that. And so, leave you with this. You've never been a Christian. There's only one way to God, one way to heaven. In fact, this is, I'll encourage you, there's this website, Bible.ca is a good one to go to. It's actually a member of the church. You won't see Church of Christ on there, but if you go look at the churches that's affiliated with this site, it's all Church of Christ. But I really like this chart. It talks about the stairway to heaven. As we all know that, to be a Christian, first thing we have to do is we have to hear. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10. Verse 17, "You have to believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Then Peter said, "Repent." We've got to repent. Recognize that we've sinned. Turn away from those things. "And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift, the Holy Ghost." Acts 2:38. "If thou confess thy mouth to the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." So we've got to make that great confession that we believe in Jesus. And then finally, we must be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21, "like figure whereunto even baptism does also save us, not the pilling away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And so if you've never been obedient to the gospel, you believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, make that great confession this morning, and you can be baptized. Maybe you've been baptized, maybe you haven't been living the way you should. Maybe you brought reproach, sin on yourself, and maybe need to make that right with God. You can do that this morning. The Lord's invitation is open. If we can assist you, please come while together we stand and while we sing.